After meeting back at the Southern District Watch Station, Nia, Balasar, Scribe and Nathan had all agreed that their new horses were indeed valuable additions to the team. Whoever had donated them at least had good taste. One by one they kicked off and the horses began speeding towards the Eastern Wilds border. It was about an hour or so of solid riding before they came to a turn in the trail, one leading north and the other south. Nia scratched her chin before removing her hat to fan herself, the sun beating down. Alright, Nathan, Yunia, you head south, find Oshog. Balasar and I'll go north and check out Galog. Call it in if you find anything. Literally anything. Meet back here around 4 p.m. We'll head back in together. Weather might finally break today, so I'll be ready for rain. With that, she jerked her horse's reins and set off with Balasar before Scribe and Nathan did the same, travelling south as the cornfields got thicker and thicker around them. The trail went on for at least an hour, then two, with the heat not letting up. Nathan and Yunia rode towards Panjid Oshog's Kandee camp. Scribe was busy recounting the events of the Crater Great game a couple of nights ago, but Nathan was only half listening. It wasn't until Scribe mentioned he and Nia's brief encounter with Helenga Quickheart's aid that Nathan gave him his full attention. She wanted you two to go and sit with her. What for?
Probably the same reason she sent these horses. To be seen to be helping the cause of justice,
grunted Scribe, realising that this was probably the first time he'd had Nathan's full attention this whole trip.
And that's a bad thing? When it's not for the right reasons, it's always a bad thing, said Scribe. No one does something for nothing. If you can't see the course straight away, it's usually coming down the track. I've seen six chief council advisors come and go since I've been on the watch. Now that's 24 years of new horses, but no more people to ride them.
You're following the election quite closely then? Asked Nathan, genuinely interested in what his colleague had to say.
Oh hey, how can you not?
Well, I mean, listen to the radio box, read the paper. Same as anyone else, I imagine.
It's not enough, Nathan. It's not nearly enough. You have to hear it firsthand. See the colours in their eyes when they talk. We've got a baton for our ability, first and foremost, to smell dung a while away. If only everyone in this city could do the same, we'd barely have a government.
They're not all bad, Yan. I mean, Marla Calabra, Western Quarter, she's good. Alston Timbers, out here in the wilds, he's done a good job keeping everyone in work. I mean, they do work for us. We vote them in.
Whoever sent these horses, Nathan, they work for the person breeding the horses. They don't work for us.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
They finally arrived at a large square tent, flaps on both sides, with a young gnome boy sat on a wooden stool. He stood up excitedly and smiled as Yunia and Bowman dismounted and flashed the batons on their belts at the child before asking him to go and fetch Panjed Oshog. They watched the boy run away and into the camp, and so walked through the tent and found themselves in another shanty town of sorts. Tents of every size and colour surrounded a large clearing at the centre of the camp, and they were not alone either. Children of many races were playing and laughing, running about as men and women went about their business, giving the watchmen only a cursory glance as they wandered into the clearing. They both removed their hats and moved slowly, making no movement to their batons as non-verbal signs of friendliness. Soon they heard thumping footsteps approaching and turned to see a portly dragonborn with large yellow spines, green scales, and wearing only leather trousers walking towards them, a large smile on his face.
Watchman, what brings you this far from the Southern District?
Panjid Oshog asked, nodding to the colours of their hats.
Panjid Oshog, I'm Nathan Bowman. This is Yunia Scribe. We're from the Southern District Extraordinary Crimes Unit. We've come to ask you some questions about Hyandi.
The elf cast his eyes around the camp.
Is there somewhere more private we could talk?
Extraordinary Crimes Unit?
By the fire, this must be serious. Please, follow me. Can I get you some refreshments? Oshog led them towards a large tent set back from the main clearing.
I'll just have a water, please,
Scribe grunted as they walked. Oshog nodded, and as they entered his large tent, soon another gnome brought 3 glasses and a large pitcher of water, pouring them each a serving. Panjid motioned to the floor, specifically a number of large cushions, and they all sat down. Glad of the water, the watchman drank it, tasting faint rose petals and smelling incense in the air. Nathan started, aided in part by Scribe. They told the portly dragonborn most of the story, omitting what Balasar had told them about ascension rituals. They watched Oshok closely the whole time. When they finished, they let their host fill the silence.
By the fire, he said again. This is certainly troubling. These crimes are murders you describe sound awfully similar to something written deep in Kiandi text. But I mean, you must understand this is not something my followers or I practice, nothing even close to what we do here.
Oh no, I'm sure. Do you know anyone who would be practicing something close to these rituals? Asked Scribe gruffly, shifting awkwardly on his cushion, still yet to find comfort. Panjed Oshok scratched his chin and took a moment before answering.
Well, I'm sorry I don't.
I think this is even beyond what my friend Galog would have been interested in looking into. I mean, that is why you're here, isn't it? To see if I've heard whispers from the northeast? He asked carefully.
We're not here to pin blame on anyone or anything, Mr. Oshok. We just need more information on what might be coming next.
Well, you'll not find much guidance in Tarthage library books, I'll tell you that, the Dragonborn answered. Both watchmen thinking about another dragonborn who might disagree. Many of our practices, even the more draconian ones, are often twisted by the writings of those who don't follow the fire of Hiendi. To truly understand what is meant in those texts, those rituals, one must experience them firsthand and weigh them for their own merits outside of intent. Nathan nodded before Scribe jumped in.
One of the crime scenes is about 30 minutes down the river from here, Mr. Oshok. Did you or any of your followers hear anything odd a couple of nights ago? A boat on the water or screaming? Anything like that? Did any of your followers miss bedtime that night?
Oshok fixed the dwarf with a hard look. No, we didn't. Everyone was here that night. Everyone.
I can sense your displeasure at being here, Watchman, but I can tell you that if someone is running around playing Kiandi ascension rituals in the Southern District, it wasn't any of us. I can't really speak for anyone else who has a hand in our shared fire.
Sounds like you don't really have an idea of whatever these people get up to day to day, commented Scribe, drawing a sideways look from Nathan.
Panjid studied Scribe for a moment, sipping his water before setting the empty cup on the ground. I thought Watchmen were supposed to have an open mind. Do not mistake my ignorance for a confession of guilt.
Scribe stood up suddenly, his hand on the end of his baton.
I pick your next observation very carefully if you don't want to be joining us on the way back to the Southern District Watch Station.
Mr. Oshok, what comes next? We've had 2 already, asked Nathan, a hint of desperation in his voice now.
Scripture dictates that the sacrifices must take place during high summer. 8 sacrifices before the final deed of pure ascension. The heavens and the realms put no timer on ascension, Mr. Watchman.
Oh, wonderful.
Any idea of where or who? There's no scripture about the types of people that might be slain?
I've got no idea. Now, if there's nothing else, I have a class to teach.
Moments later, they found themselves outside the camp, readying their horses in silence. A few moments passed until Nathan spoke.
Well, that was interesting.
Ynir grunted, but looked straight ahead, busying himself with his horse's leathers.
Not angry, I'm just confused, I suppose, as to why you were so direct. Do you think he's involved, or do you just not like their type?
Their type? What does that mean, their type?
Scribe turned to face Bowman, tossing the leather reins down to the ground.
Dragonborn? Fat? Religious? What am I supposed to be on board with or against now, Nathan?
Well, hang on, I was just saying that...
Well, don't just say! Don't just do anything! Said Scribe. What's your problem? My problem?
Scribe pushed Nathan back before taking a deep breath. My problem would keep you up at night a lot longer than a couple of skinned corpses would. They held eye contact for a moment before stepping back from each other and climbing onto their horses. Meanwhile, Balasar and Nia were travelling northeast towards the second of the two Hyandi camps. The trail swept from side to side up and over several hills before they could see smoke issuing from campfires on the horizon. It was only the very tops of the hills that brought them above the thick forest coverage that surrounded most of the area. And then Scribe told her to bugger off because we were on watch business. I mean, she didn't look happy, what could I do? Finished Nia, recounting the events of the other night. Balasar nodded slowly as they rode towards the hilltop camp. Yanir is a man filled with conflict. I sense it in everything he does, everything he says. I wonder whether it would be appropriate to address it, between the team? I don't know. I mean, since Fran and he separated, he's been... well, he's been a bit more abrasive than usual. It is difficult. A man like him dealing with what he is dealing with. It is a common but complicated path he walks, said Balasar. The path in front of them led upwards again. I hope he can find the happiness he seeks. Nia gave him half a look, her brows furrowed slightly, her mouth half open to reply. Here we are, said Balasar, as their horses broke into the bow of a hill, to be greeted by two large robe-wearing dragonborns, carrying long, sharpened spears. Perhaps it would be better if I did the talking.
State your business, growled
one of the guards. The two were either side of a large open gate. On either side there were wooden walls made of spikes lashed together, sharpened points on top of each post. Beyond them they saw groups of orcs, dragonborns, elves, and some humans, marching in formation while others sat cross-legged in groups, fixing crossbows around communal fires. Balasar dismounted, knocking back his hat and raising his hands. We are from the Watch, the Southern District, seeking counsel with your leader. We are not here to arrest or harm anyone. They grunted, smirking at each other as Nia winced at the idea of trying to arrest anyone in the camp and getting out alive. She dismounted as well, walking up beside Balasar. Is Rhaegar Van Gullo here? We need to ask his advice on an issue regarding Hyandi, she said firmly, to more smirks. Listen, Shredskin, we need his expertise on something of citywide importance. If he's not here or you two are too fucking stupid to understand how good this could make him look, then we'll march down the hill and we'll talk to Oshog. They exchanged a look quickly, nodding.
Oh, don't worry, darling, he's here. Just blooding a few new recruits by his tent. Do follow us, one said sarcastically.
Nia rolled her eyes and followed him, her hand not far from her baton. As they walked deeper into the camp, they took in the chain-link fences that surrounded the rear. They drew more and more attention the further in they walked, but kept their eyes forward as they went. Walking past row after row of dingy tents, they heard shouts, catcalls and laughter as they rounded a corner to find a dragonborn, around 7 feet tall and bright red, engaged in hand-to-hand combat with a tall dark elf. They were already being watched by a scruffy group wearing similar robes as the guards, cheering on their leader. As they stopped by the group, the dark elf flicked his eyes at them and instantly received a right hook from Galog as punishment, knocking him to the ground. A great cheer went up.
Ha ha ha! Keep your eyes on the prize, Brother Morthos! What if I'd had a sword?
The elf shook his head and flicked a smile before getting up and wandering back into the crowd, shaking slightly.
Southern District Watch in my camp! Must be something the brain boxes in the capital dreamed up, huh?
Galog looked around, receiving more laughs from the crowd.
Rhaegar von Galog, I... began Balasar.
Two people have been found killed and skinned in the Southern District the day before last. You sound familiar? Said Nia, stepping forward, her arms folded, to more laughter from the crowd.
Oh, our scale brother needs a woman to talk for him. How quaint.
Galog grunted back, smiling and showing rows of ice-white teeth.
It appears the time among the decent folks has dulled your scales, brother.
Rather dull my scales than show teeth that haven't seen a real kill in years, brother. There were a few intakes of breath from the crowd, Galog's face dropping as he took a step towards Balasar.
What exactly do you want with us?
Answer my colleague's questions, Balasar replied, staring down Galog. The Dragonborn turned and waved his hand, the crowd beginning to disappear quickly until it was just the three of them. Nir and Balasar filled in Galog, using only the scantiest details, hoping he'd fill the silence.
You think we're trying to complete ascension rituals? In this day and age, in the middle of a city?
You'd do it differently.
I don't think you turn people into a people's army by butchering them under the name of the very army you're trying to recruit them for. No one here has any texts about that. They're all locked up in the Tarthage Library, far away from eyes that might actually understand them.
Any new recruits that might be that way inclined?
We get new recruits all the time, dearest. I can't be held responsible for what's in their hearts and minds. A man's desires are his own.
Until someone ends up getting purged, of course, Balasar said coolly. Galog looked from one to the other. Either you begin to clear our minds and point us in the right direction, or we'll have to inform the Tarthage High Command that you're running an illegal militia camp on sovereign soil.
Now, those laws
were put in place to ban the raising of a people's army of more than 20 able humanoids. Few more than 20 around here. Balasar held his nerve. Do you think your chain link fences and wooden walls can resist the Tarthage military's arcane fire, brother? Galog studied him closely.
Not so dull after all. Look, there is someone that might be of interest. A new recruit. A few days ago, he turned up here looking for a bed, something to follow, but he was, I don't know, he was different to the usual crop.
Different how?
Well, most of them can't hold a crossbow the right way when we get him in, but this one, he was surprisingly proficient. Hand-to-hand, weapons, you name it. He's already got a bit of a name for himself. I mean, hell, you saw how many turned up to watch us train together.
Train together? Wait, that was him just now, the Dark Elf. Nier's eyes widened.
Take us to him, now.
Balasar snarled, drawing his baton. Galog nodded, sensing a change in attitude, and beckoned them to follow. He slowed as they approached the tent on the edge of the camp, nodding at the door. Nier and Balasar eyed each other, and nodded, before pushing the flap open and ducking inside, batons raised. The tent was empty, save for a small lantern. They both jumped as they heard a sound on top of the tent. The rain had begun to fall. They noticed the lantern light flicker on the ground and looked to the rear of the tent, where a large split could be seen in the back panel. Nia ducked through it and looked left, just in time to see a figure dressed all in black sprinting away from them, heading towards the chain link fence.
This has been Tales of Tarthage. This episode was written and edited by Samuel Bradley. The title music was Who Am I to Complain by Alec Michael Wilson. Extra sounds were provided by Zapsplat.com. This was a Starter Set Studio production.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like bad movies?
Do you find yourself defending bad movies, saying things like, well, the soundtrack was okay, or the costumes were pretty fun?
From the previous hosts of It's Not That Bad podcast, we bring you Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, from Simone LaRue and Chad Ekovitz.
Every week, we review two movies that did not do well critically, but we say, hey, there are some nice things about them. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes was wrong.
Maybe they're all fools, and you should watch these movies regardless. We'll also talk about scenes that could have saved it, and we'll often refer to Simone's cats because they're amazing and adorable, and we love them.
And at the end of each review, we will tell you whether we would watch this movie again, or in what circumstances we would recommend you watch this movie.
So, join us on July 9th for the first drop of our main episode, and then 2 days later for our drop of our minisodes.
And on Robots Radio Podcast Network. Come see us on July 9th. We love you so much already. Bye!
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know, play D&D, and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amarin. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.